This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're with Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Good morning, Anastasia.
Good morning. Darling, I'm having a cup of tea.
Is it a nice cup of tea?
I love it. It's so lovely.
I made it for you. But it's only a tea bag.
I'll be dead in 20 minutes.
Do you know?
Oh, no.
Roy Morgan have done some research and
yes.
that in the 12 months, the last 12 months, right. 9.8 million Aussies over the age of 14 drank at least one cup of tea in any given week. Do you know what percentage of them are tea bags? 96%.
Oh, my God.
But there's something really bad.
Talk to us.
I hadn't thought. I thought tea bags were made of paper.
Well, so
did
I.
Filter paper and the water goes through and you get a nice cup of tea out
of
it. Yeah. But it turns out they're actually 70 to 80% plastic.
You're kidding, right?
No.
This takes it to another level. This is really bad for us.
Absolutely. It's polypropylene, a plastic mesh that's woven in the bag.
Can you say that polypropylene again?
Polypropylene.
Wow. What?
How's that? I had no idea.
That is shocking.
I thought you could compost them and throw them in the garden, but they contain plastic.
It's really annoying. That's shocking, actually. I'm sorry I'm slurping, but it's reminding me of my mum. She said when she has a cup of tea, that's what she does. She slurps really loud. It's probably her way of getting attention, which I'm probably trying to do now.
What about
hijacking
soup? Do you slurp soup?
Look, I don't like slurps at all. I get really, really agitated when people slurp around me.
What about chewing sounds?
Oh, my God, I want to kill. Did you rise this morning before you turned up to work, darling?
I did rise.
Yeah.
What
well,
do you mean,
know
did
what I mean
I rise?
By that? Because you were extra perky this morning. And
what
I thought,
are you talking about?
Well, I'm asking you if you pleasure yourself in the morning before you come to work, because it's a very natural thing to do, my darling. And we made an agreement about being vulnerable and honest to each other about these things.
Are you asking
well,
me?
Well, I'm asking you, did you make love to yourself this morning?
No, I didn't this morning.
No. But do
it doesn't mean that I don't.
No. No, well, that's what I'm asking you. Do you and how often do you do it?
Do you? How often
yeah.
do you do it?
Of course I do, darling.
Well, actually, it's really...
You don't get this complexion without a bit of pleasure.
It does give you a bit of a glow,
doesn't it? That's not a family pizza I'm having, you know what I mean?
Do you do it before sleep or after sleep?
I have it any time I can get. I'm in love with myself, darling, and I think that's the most important thing.
Well, it's interesting
right.
that you say this,
yes.
particularly for men. I don't know about the female stats,
right.
but researchers from Harvard University have released a study that suggests men who climax 21 times or more per month, 21
per
times,
month.
May have their chances of prostate cancer slashed by up to a third.
Now, this would be a very awkward conversation to have with my father.
It would be, wouldn't it? Because at that age. So I'll tell you one thing. I don't think I'll be getting it.
Okay, so you do. Look, that's very healthy.
It's currently unconfirmed why, but some scientists believe a successful orgasm may flush out cancer-determining toxins that build up in the prostate.
It kind of makes sense because you're releasing energy. I'm just having this thought of a Greek conversation with my 78-year-old old father. Dad, you need to pleasure yourself.
I think you should have it. It's important
it.
For health. But
I'm
you're not,
calling him straight up as a show.
You're not just releasing you're not just releasing tension.
Yeah.
Lots of things.
Exactly. Hey, something quite concerning because I know I think I do this, I'm not sure, but I'm reading in the paper this morning, fat chat is a hot topic. Apparently women are engaging in fat chats more than ever before.
So and what, they're just talking about how fat they are?
Yeah, they're just constantly making negative comments.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah, and body shaming themselves. And it's really terrible, isn't it?
But what if someone, like well, we actually had this morning.
Mm.
If you're at work and someone comes up and says, oh my goodness, you know, I'm so fat and I'm feeling really, you don't turn around and go, yeah, you are, aren't you? Like surely you'd
well, you know what? You do when someone that's probably about 10 kilos says, I look really fat. That's when you go, actually you do.
When they're 10 kilos.
Yeah. Like I had an ex-girlfriend that would go, I look really like bloated. And like she was stick thin. And I'd be thinking at the time, yeah, you do look fat, just to get to her.
Did you say it to her?
No, I never did, of course, because I'm a people pleaser.
I think that's really sad that people are doing
it
that.
It is really, really sad.
Having said that, though, yeah. I need to exercise more.
Yeah, well, you haven't been exercising as much, but I think I have a solution
excuse me. Who hasn't done anything
well,
for 6 months?
Well, I haven't done it for 6 months, okay, and I've only put 4 kilos on.
I haven't done
on,
it for about
excuse?
6 hours.
No, but you know what? There is a new thing at the moment. moment. It's a ditch gym or road run for a museum workout. Apparently this week in the city's first beer yoga session was held here in Melbourne, and it's guided by an instructor. And you have, there's guests made all of the right moves while sipping gluten-friendly beer. Pale ale. So you get to have a beer while you stretch those limbs.
Maybe it makes you stretch more or something. Well,
yeah,
you're more relaxed.
It's a great.
But you wouldn't lose weight.
Well, you might. How do you know,
yeah,
buddy?
You'd be drinking. You'd be putting in the calories as you expend them. Let's try it. Pour me a beer. How did your therapy go? It's the first time you've been in, what, 5 years or something?
This is very personal.
You said to be authentic on air.
No, we need to be very authentic on air.
You asked me if I
have a therapist, which you need one.
Yeah.
At least twice a day, which is my job.
After this show,
hey,
I need one.
But you know what? I hadn't seen my therapist for 5 years, Warren.
So you went back to the same therapist?
Went back to the same therapist, and I was a little bit nervous before I walked in, but as soon as I walked in, it just felt like home, and it was so good. She so doesn't sugarcoat anything. I know it's really good therapy.
Did she pick up from where you were 5 years ago?
Yeah, well, I asked her, how long haven't I been here, and we kind of looked at my file and stuff, and then we just jumped straight into it. And what I love about her is she doesn't sugarcoat anything with me, and I feel really challenged by her. So
that's great.
So good.
So do you think we sugarcoat things just in day-to-day conversations?
Absolutely we do, to make people feel better.
And particularly people like us who are more people pleasers.
Yeah, yeah.
We tend to deliver stuff in really nice ways.
Yeah.
But is there anything wrong with that?
Well, no, not really. But I think, especially with therapy, I think it's a therapist's job to really challenge you.
To strip you right down.
Yeah. But you know what was really funny? And this is the whole ego thing. And this is why I kind of like it, because she doesn't feed the ego. You know, she, right at the end of my session, I was trying not to giggle, because she's like, there's nothing wrong with you, Anastasia. You're intelligent. You're this, you're that. But
what a lovely thing to say.
Which is really lovely. And she's done this before 5 years ago, but she never tells me I'm beautiful. And that's all I'm looking for. So I forget everything else that she's saying. Like, you know,
boundaries,
you're intelligent,
Anastasia.
You're smart, you're this. But, you know, all I wanted to say to her was, like, why can't you just tell me I'm beautiful? I want to be beautiful.
Boundaries. How often do you wash your sheets?
Well, this is a really good question. Every 6 months. Now, look, I'd like to say about a few weeks, but maybe sometimes it's moved to the month.
Sometimes it does extend out, doesn't it? I'm the same.
Totally.
But do you find when you've got fresh sheets, you sleep really well?
Oh, my God, you sleep so well.
Don't you? And I thought, is it just because you're thinking, oh, you know, this feels nice, it's nice and crisp, and
I think it is a bit psychological, but look, there's nothing like nice, white, fresh sheets.
Oh, it's beautiful. Do you iron them?
God, no. Are you for real? No. The dryer's there for that.
You just used to iron your hair.
Yeah.
Well, a leading microbiologist has urged people to wash their sheets, pillowcases, once a week to avoid illness.
Oh, tell him to relax.
Once a week.
Relax, mate.
He's from New York University and claims that the microscopic life can build up over time within bedclothes and eventually make people sick.
Right.
In fact, up to 2 weeks of build-up is enough to leave you with a scratchy throat.
Do you get scratchy throats or anything like that?
Not from my bed sheets.
No.
So apparently once a week is the best
time. So wash your sheets.
You visited cemeteries?
I have before, yeah.
Just out of curiosity?
Once for a Buddhist little thing, retreat that I did for about 2 weeks, we had to go to the cemetery every day. And I did a lot in Greece when I was staying with my auntie. We'd visit her son at the cemetery, which was this beautiful cemetery overlooking the sea. It was amazing.
I think it's fascinating to go in and see the history of what's happened in an area when you're travelling.
So do you hang out cemeteries a lot?
Don't hang out there a lot, but it's interesting. I think they're called taphophiles or something like that. They're known as gravers.
Yeah.
And they're the people who pore over inscriptions and gravestones in the history of the dead.
But
the top five cemeteries have been listed in the world. And one is Highgate in London, another one in Paris, one in California, one in France, but also one in northwest Victoria in Stuart Mill.
Oh, my God.
I don't know where that is, but it's number three.
Should we go hang out sometime?
We
get
should
a bottle of wine and just hang out.
We should do a broadcast from there. It's the third most popular cemetery to visit.
Yeah, wow.
In the world, apparently.
They are really beautiful, though. Do you, now, you've lost someone very dear to you, your brother. Do you visit him on a regular basis?
I do. I go a few times a year down there
Yep.
And just yeah, it's a nice place just to reflect and contemplate. But when I was a kid, we went to this town in Gippsland, and you may have heard of it, Walhalla, and it was an old gold town, and it's almost deserted now, just a few there. But there's an interesting cemetery there with lots of graves and nice inscriptions on them, and one of them's got a curse on the grave.
A curse on the grave. Oh, my God, is it Greek?
And I remember reading it as a kid and panicking. Do Greeks do curses, do they?
We curse all the time.
This is what it says.
I'm cursing you right now.
It says, it's from James Mitchell. James died falling down a mine shaft, unfortunately.
Oh, sorry, James.
Many years ago. But on top of his grave it says, "Oh, let my sudden doom a warning be to all. Here while though bend death over my tomb, though may as quickly fall." How scary is that?
That's insane.
I remember being in primary school and reading that and running to my parents screaming.
Yeah, it's making me think what I'd want on my tombstone. I'll have a little think about it, what I want written.
You could put joy.
Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.